good evening, and welcome to another episode of Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'll be your host for the next hour here on WFMU, Freeform Station of the Nation, coming at you live from downtown Jersey City in the great state of New Jersey. Thanks so much for being with me. It is a real pleasure to be with you for the second marathon show for Tectonic in the 2024 marathon. We are raising funds for this fabulous radio station, more than fabulous, it's the greatest radio station in the world. And what's more, I am joined by one of the all-time greatest DJs on this station, Dave the Spaz. Welcome to the show, Dave the Spaz.
Oh, pshaw. You flatter me. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here, Mark.
It's a real honor to have you as my co-host this evening. I want everybody, if you haven't heard Dave's show, it's on Thursday night starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's called Music to Spaz By, and it is appointment radio. You should definitely listen to it. It's fantastic.
That's very kind of you. That's what I was going to say about this show. This is appointment radio for me. And we all have our preferences, Mark. And this is... Forget about Thursdays. I mean, Mondays at 6, everything kind of stops for about an hour or so. I am hooked on this show.
Well, that's nice of you to say, Dave. I mean, I put a lot of time into preparing this show, as I know you do with your show. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the work. I've been doing the show now for a little over 6 years. It started in September of 2017. And I've done a little over 300 episodes at this point, not counting the guest host episodes from other DJs like Ken Friedman and Matt Warwick and Scott Williams and people like that. And I've tried to cover a lot of topics that I think are relevant and I hope interesting to the listeners. And I didn't realize in 2017 that I don't think anybody realized how central and important technology was going to become to all of our lives. I mean, who could have guessed where we would be in 2024 with AI and ambient surveillance and everything else going on?
I think it's appropriately named AI because I always think, By the way, the phone number here is 800-989-9368 or get on the web and pledge at WFMU.org. It's always a good place to start because we're trying to raise some money here to stay on the air.
That's right, 1-800-989-9368 or you can go to WFMU.org/donate. And by the way, if you'd like to, I say this at the beginning of every show, but I think it's important to issue this invitation. If you'd like to join in the live listener chat, it's going on right now. Just grab a web browser on whatever surveillance device or surveillance laptop that you'd like to use. Go to WFMU.org and on the homepage, click on playlist and comments, and you can see everybody chatting away there. There's also a link at the top of the page with the WFMU logo that will allow you to go into the pledge page to enter your pledge. What's one of, we have so much swag, Dave. What's one of your favorite swag items that people can get with an easy pledge this evening?
I'm looking at the hat right now, and you could get that to if you are a Swag for Life member, and that's $10 a month, right?
That's right. If you join our Swag for Life program, that's where the station charges your card $10 or more per month. You can see the hat if you put in $10 a month as a monthly charge. And the hat, I'm definitely getting one of these. It just has the WFMU logo. It has the dog and the cow. And it doesn't even say, right? It doesn't say
no,
WFMU on it.
No, it doesn't say anything there.
It's very elegant. It's like a secret handshake when you see a fellow WFMU listener out in the wild wearing the hat, and you're wearing the hat, you'll be able to exchange that meaningful glance that only people wearing the hat can give each other.
And it would show your support for this show, Tectonic, a mind-blowing show, a show that really is not, it's not, there's no other show on FMU like it, let alone on any other radio station. However, it's about as FMU as you can get. It fits so nicely in with everything else that's going on. And it's mainly because you can report on current events without worrying about offending an advertiser. And holy smoke, you know, the well-meaning NPR stations with their news departments and all, they cannot report on AI, for instance, because they are so funded by AI. And when these commercials come on saying, oh, you know, AI, who are they really for? Is it really that they're looking to pick up people who are going to buy these expensive AI products, or I'm sorry, like ChatGPT products?
That's right.
Or is it just to kind of buy off the media and just say, you're not going to report on this because we're paying the bills?
It is so true. And I appreciate you saying that, Dave. And you're exactly right. The freeform nature of this station allows me to say things that I would not be able to get away with at any other station, certainly not a commercial station that has advertisements and corporate partners and so on, and probably also not on an NPR station, which would still have underwriters and relationships with, inevitably, with these big tech companies. And I have heard on public radio stations where they have a little underwriting break and they slip in there, by the way, make sure you listen to whichever show this is on your Amazon surveillance device. Of course, they don't call it that, but they say we have a new, I don't know what they're called, an app or something on an Amazon device. And I'm going, how can you possibly say that you're going to give unbiased coverage, telling the listeners what they need to know about technology, if you have to every 22 minutes step aside and say, make sure to buy something from Amazon? It's repulsive to me. Sorry, I'm getting into rant mode already.
No, I love the rant mode because you know when to uncork it. Many times I'm amazed by your restraint when you report on incredibly egregious things going on in our society, and it affects all of us. I mean, it affected me earlier today, which I don't have to go into right now, but it's because of a computer glitch that happened a few weeks ago, United Health, whatever. You know, I'm personally screwed at the moment, but I lost my train of thought.
Well, what you're bringing up multiple levels there. I mean, we don't need to get into the details of your situation, but when you say United Health, that makes me think of the consolidation in healthcare, which closely matches the consolidation in technology into these five firms we call big tech. And when you see a consolidation of power, money, and influence, corruption follows. I mean, they're just inextricably linked. And the depth and the scale and the scope of corruption and, as you say, egregious outcomes in big tech is just mind-blowing. I was just talking to some friends before the show about what it's like for me to read up on the news every week and to try to keep listeners abreast of the tech news. And I can't even believe, Dave, some of the things that I have to read out on this show where you go, this should not be. Can I give you an example?
Even today with the cars, with GM and insurance.
Oh,
insurance
yeah. Okay. Companies. New York Times today. I don't have the headline right in front of me, but I can talk about this story because I read it. It turns out that LexisNexis, everybody says LexisNexis, isn't that the one where you look up old headlines from Newsweek from 1983?
It's expensive Google. Yeah.
That was. And I think they probably still have that as a tiny side business somewhere. But that's that. Go back and listen to my interview with Sarah Lambden, January of 2023. She wrote a book called Data Cartels, which talks about LexisNexis and Thomson Reuters and how they're consolidating the data broker market. She talked about law libraries. I'm not even going to get into that. Listen to the interview. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. But LexisNexis is one of the biggest data brokers in the U.S. right now. So they have a business of trying to grab as much of your private data as they can and then selling it to government agencies, such as the focus of the New York Times article, the NSA, for example, the National Security Agency, or even, if the price is right, foreign governments. And so there, the focus of this article was the surveillance going on in people's cars. So when you drive your new model GM car, there's telematics built into the car that's purely for your convenience, you understand. Mm-hmm. We just want to give you a way to have a GPS app or something. No, actually what they're doing, in addition to giving you your little map app, they're feeding data to LexisNexis so they can sell it to foreign governments who might want to know how fast you're driving, when you braked, and they claim that they're not sharing your exact location with anyone who wants. But that can't be far off. This is all just setting a precedent for where surveillance in cars is going to go. This is the kind of rant that we get on TikTok.
It's the normalizing of it.
Ah!
It's ridiculous. That's the thing, is that what I was going to say is that you usually keep yourself in check, but when you let go, when you uncork the, and you really get going, especially towards the end of the show, it's just wonderful. It's some of the greatest, most entertaining radio I've ever heard, because it's really, you know, it's very dark humor. You know, it really is very funny. One of my favorite shows, one of my favorite hours in radio is when, like, at the name right, Ashley Hsu, the author of Against Techno-Ableism.
Yes, it was just a few weeks
that
ago.
That episode, I would recommend to everybody to listen to those 60 minutes, because I was sort of crying and laughing at the same time.
Yeah, thank you. Ashley Hsu wrote this great book, as you say, Dave, called Against Techno-Ableism. She is disabled herself. She's a professor at Virginia Tech in Virginia, and she's writing about how the tech industry has mostly ignored the needs of the disabled community. And instead of, you know, fixing sidewalks and providing better low-tech affordances that they need and the disabled community has been asking for years, instead what we get is these robots that are supposed to inhabit a wheelchair and run upstairs. And it's like, no, we don't need something from some futuristic sci-fi movie designed by someone who's not disabled and never talked to a disabled person in their life. And so I'm glad you brought that interview. Listeners can go to the archives at WFMU.org and listen to the interview with Ashley to hear it in her own words. What I'm trying to do on this show is I want to spotlight people who are the experts in their fields. So I don't want to speak for the disabled community. I want to find someone who's written the book about her experience as being part of the disabled community and advocating for better technology and put a spotlight on her. We can all learn from her. So I'm glad you enjoyed that episode. I did too.
It was incredible. And I just learned about LexisNexis, which I've known about for years, and I've used it years ago doing research. It's like, oh, by the way, data miners.
Yes, they're a surveillance company now, as so many companies are. The number is 1-800-989-9368. 1-800-989-9368. We should probably put a prize up, right?
Yes.
I've been
you have
ranting
two prizes. It's fine. I got so much to talk to you about. I got like 3.5 hours of rants.
Let's go.
With you.
But
here's a couple prizes, okay?
Yes, let's go.
And by the way, if you want to be in the running for any of these prizes, it's just a $20 pledge. And I'm talking to new listeners here. You get a bumper sticker and all this. It's holographic, by the way. All you have to do is call 800-989-9368 or pledge at WFMU.org and be in the running for these prizes. One of these prizes is Optimal Illusions by Coco Crum. It's a book, courtesy of Penguin Random House. And a book called The Nib's Future by The Nib. Sounds like a Dick Tracy villain. Like, well, measles or flat top. The Nib.
Let's first, which one do you want to give away first, Dave?
Oh, okay, let's go in order. Let's go with Coco Crum at the bottom of the hour. We'll give that away.
Coco Crum was a guest on the September 4, 2023 episode. She wrote a book called Optimal Illusions, The False Promise of Optimization. This was a fascinating book where she's going through different examples of people who either have or have not embraced the Silicon Valley ethos of optimizing absolutely everything. In fact, she talked to one beet farmer in the state, Montana or thereabouts, who had held out against the agribusiness GMO computerized optimization ideas for a long time. And finally, by the end of the book, she goes back to visit him and he signed on. He was the last farmer in the neighborhood to finally sign on. And it was this bittersweet moment. She talks about how the question is the encroachment of technology truly inevitable? Are we all going to fall under its sway at some point? Or did the farmer have good reasons for finally capitulating? And even that's a judgmental word. So there's some gray area that she explores in her book, and I appreciated her thoughtful take. Because that's another aspect, Dave. I have very strong opinions, as you know, about the technology, but some of the guests who come on, all the guests, they have their own perspective, and some of them see things a little bit differently from right. me, and I welcome that as well. We don't need a monoculture of only one host's viewpoint on technology. It's good to have some diversity.
Yeah, it makes for a really good conversation.
So for pledges of $20 or more, you can be in the running. We're going to give that away, I guess, Dave, in 10 or 15 minutes?
Yeah, we'll do that at 6:30 or so.
Do we have some people who are in the running who you
yes.
want to thank?
Yes, we do. Stephen from San Gabriel. Thank you very much. He says, keep doing what you are doing.
Thank you, Stephen.
Leslie from Hollywood. Hollywood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Boss from Utrecht.
Boss in the Netherlands.
Oh, Boss. Okay, that's the Boss.
Thank you, Boss.
He says, hi, Mark. Thank you for the weekly big tech alerts and the great interviews. Best wishes. Boss.
Thank you, Boss in Utrecht. A longtime supporter.
Dan from Horseheads, New York. You knew that there was one?
I did not know that, Dan. Thank you for being there in Horseheads for us.
He says, pledging for all the latest tech survival and safety info I get from Tectonic, part of my Swag for Life membership. I think I might have told you at one point earlier where I said, I feel like you're looking out for us. You know, you really are. And this show is not meant, I don't see this show as saying, you know, this is the gospel. You have to do this. You know, I know the mantra at the end of the show, you know, get off Apple and all that. But it's, you know, I have an iPhone, and it's one of these things where as long as you understand that it's junk food, you know, and right. junk food is delicious and we all like it now and then, you know. But if you don't know what you're eating, it's just going to – tech that surveils you, it will kick you in the ass at the end.
That's right.
So just understand that this is what you got. Take it or leave it, as long as you understand. Hey, our own Evan Funk Davies.
EFD, thanks so much.
Thanks for everything you do to keep the FMU community informed, aware, and alert, part of a Swag for Life.
Thank you. And I have to thank EFD for sending me these great outro songs. I play one song in every episode other mm-hmm. than the Tectonic theme song, and it's the outro at the end of the show. And I try to make it surveillance-related or dystopia-related, and EFD has sent over some great picks.
Who knew there were so many?
There are an increasing number. Evan would know better than I do, but it seems like there's an increasing number of artists who are picking up on this and are writing songs about that. Even Joe Bielak today played a new track called Under Surveillance, a nice instrumental.
Well, these guys know everything. They really do about music. I mean,
Look who's talking.
No.
Come on, Dave.
No, they really know their music, guys. I'm telling you, Dave.
You're too humble.
Mike from Toronto says, thank you for another great year of pushing back the tide, Mark.
Thank you, Mike.
It says, pledged from Linux. That's a little computer joke there.
All right. Are we all caught up?
We are caught up with people. But
all right. Yeah. You know, speaking of Toronto,
mm-hmm.
I have, and we didn't pre-plan this, Dave. This is all an improv. But speaking of Toronto, I wanted to say something about a past show from last summer. This is from July 24, 2023. My guest was Josh O'Kane, who's a journalist and author who wrote a book called Sideways, The City Google Couldn't Buy. And that city that Google couldn't buy was Toronto. And we talked about Google's failed attempt, thank goodness, to build a surveillance city on the waterfront in Toronto. And people should go to WFMU.org, find the July 24, 2023 episode, and listen to that episode so you can hear Josh talk about this. But there was one aspect of that interview that I wanted to share with the listeners, which was the contrast that he and I drew between the Toronto waterfront project that did not happen and a project that did happen in Manhattan.
Right here.
Right here. And the Manhattanites who are listening probably already know which project I'm talking about. But let's go ahead and listen to just a brief excerpt of that. This, again, is part of my interview with Josh O'Kane on Tectonic on July 24, 2023. I don't want to derail us too much because we got to get back to Toronto and what happened there. But this book, Sideways, does mention Lincoln YC, and it also makes a mention of Doctoroff's other legacy, which is the building of Hudson Yards, which is maybe what Quayside might have looked like, with giant skyscrapers and ambient surveillance and sensors in the sidewalks, in the kiosks, in the buildings. It's a very cold place. There's no real civic life there. I mean, there are tourists who take pictures for Instagram in front of the, as you rightly put it, the giant empty shawarma sculpture. But other than that, there's no feel of New York City there. People call it Dubai on the Hudson for good reason.
Yeah, I mean, I visited there like several days before the pandemic shut the world down, and I was quite surprised at the lack of street life. It was, you know, there were tourists sort of flooding the vessel, but, you know, for the most part, it was people running to their giant glass offices that looked like X-Acto knives and a bunch of empty luxury stores. It was a very strange community, I guess. If you could call it a community, I guess there are some ultra penthouse condos in some of those buildings, but I know among the offices, but yeah.
Here we are 3.5 years later, and I can tell you from direct observation, Josh, that it really has not changed. It's big tech employees going into the skyscrapers, it's tourists, and that's about it. And New York allowed to happen in Hudson Yards what Toronto was able to rise up against and resist.
Okay, so that again was an excerpt of my interview with Josh O'Kane, an author and journalist based in Toronto, who wrote a book called Sideways, The City Google Couldn't Buy. And there were contrasting the Waterfront Toronto project that activists and government officials successfully shut down with Hudson Yards, which, by the way, is where Sidewalk Labs was based while they were trying to create the chaos in Toronto. And Hudson Yards is still there, Dave. Have you been through there?
No, I stay away from that. I went on the High Line once, and I couldn't believe it. It was sort of like, what am I doing? I'm walking single file underneath these luxury hotels?
Yeah.
For what? You know, it's just like, well, am I back in fifth grade in gym class? You know, what's going on here with this city? I love New York. I'm not leaving New York. But we have a history of the worst mayors as long as I can remember. I guess Mayor Linsey in the 60s. I'm Mayor Linsey. I'm thinking of Batman. He was like, and he's a Republican, and he was like the last good mayor.
Yeah.
Every one of them has sold us down the river.
Yeah, there's a great book called Vanishing New York. By Jeremiah Moss, who I interviewed a few years ago, and he talked about, again, a bipartisan effort of mayors from both parties to do deals with capital rather than to create a city that was livable for small businesses and neighborhoods and so on. What we need is a resurgence of Jane Jacobs. Many new Jane Jacobses to come out and say, let's build community block by block again, rather than build a fiscal policy in the city. Well, we're getting kind of inside baseball with New York, but you know, Dave, this
it's universal in a way.
It really is. It really is universal. There are cities all over the world that are falling into thrall, can I say, with the tech and financial forces that have formed this blob, that are creating a sameness of mediocrity with infused surveillance and control all over the world. And, you know, WFMU, if I can bring it back to our fundraiser, WFMU is an absolute oasis in this wasteland of tech and money, surveillance, algorithms, and manipulation that goes on all around us. Even walking from the PATH train to the station, how many cameras installed by Jersey City do we have to be surveilled by just to get into the building?
It looks like the courtyard of a federal prison walking from the PATH up to the station. You know, I feel like I'm Bernie Madoff and I can go outside for a few hours.
That's right. It's your perp walk every Thursday and Monday for me. And then we get into the building. Do you feel this, Dave? When you get in, it's like, ah.
Yeah. Where are those Charlie Feathers records? Oh, feeling much better now.
It really is a palpably different environment in the building. And even for listeners, I can say as a listener myself, when I turn on WFMU, the anxiety and the stress levels come down just to, well, it depends on who's playing which track, really.
Right,
but,
right.
But it, seriously, when I know it's WFMU, it feels better because these are people who come to the station. You're a prime example of this, Dave.
I'm more of a primate example. Go on.
You got me there. Who love what they're doing, the love, the passion, the enthusiasm. You can feel it over the airwaves. You can feel it when you come into this building. And that is in such direct contrast to what mainstream society serves up in media and on social media and anti-social media and nihilistic media out there. It's just soul deadening. And I come to WFMU, and the best that I can do, since I'm not a music expert, is I can say, here's what I do know about technology, and I want to warn you about this. And occasionally I want to point you to this bit of good news. That is something, again, what do you say when you come to an oasis? I wanted to try to tell you the truth, something that I couldn't tell you otherwise, and maybe something that'll be helpful or enlightening to somebody out there. It's such a privilege to be part of this. I'm so glad I'm part of this.
What's great is that your point of view is coming from someone who loves tech. You're not a Luddite. You're not an alarmist. You're not a survivalist. You're going to go dig a hole and, you know, live in a cave or something. You know, it's like, no, you deal with this every day, and you probably fell in love with it decades ago. I don't know about you, but I spent half my life in the analog world, visually and musically, and then the second half, computers. And there's a lot of upside to computers, say, you know, splicing tape, you know, making edits, you don't have to get a razor blade, you know. However, increasingly, the powers that be that sell us these devices want to spy on us. Just a quick example, I used to love Photoshop. It was great.
Yep.
And I would actually pay for it legally.
Sure.
And buy it. And it was hundreds of dollars, you know, and you'd, of course, you don't own anything, you know, in this society, unless, it, you know, you buy your own book or record, but everything else is sort of like leased to you or rented, and they can take it away at any time,
right.
Anything you stream, anything, you know, Kindle or, you know, Amazon streams or anything like that. And so now I had to switch computers. I finally had to upgrade after 10 years because, you know, this big Mac tower died. And it turns out, well, I guess a lot of people know, it's subscription only for Adobe Photoshop. However, it's all done on the web. So they want to look at my pictures of Burt Mustin.
Well,
you know, really nothing's private anymore. I don't blame them.
Who wouldn't want to see those pictures?
I don't blame them for wanting to look at scandalous photos of Marjorie Maine and Burt Mustin, you know, in flagrante. But really,
right.
That's my business.
That's
pal,
right.
You know?
That's right. Well, you're bringing up a really important transition in the tech world where they are turning into rentiers. They want to charge rent. They no longer want you to be an owner. You as a user, Dave, you're not allowed to be an owner of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're paying rent, that means you're dependent. And what a great business model that is if they can say, well, look, we've raised the rent. Oh, excuse me, the monthly subscription cost to Photoshop or whatever it is. And what are you going to do? Now that you have all your data in our cloud and you're fully dependent on our workflow, you can leave anytime you want. Go ahead into the wastelands of how are you going to export your data? And that's why a lot of people are stuck as captive customers, captive renters, essentially, to a lot of these toxic, increasingly toxic companies. And I mean, at some point, this system, let me just say, it's a corrupt system because it's not oriented towards your long-term best interests as a creator, as a user, as a citizen, as a member of a community. None of that. It's only oriented towards their growth at any cost. Wow. Hello. We have these.
I'm not sure why the walkie-talkies are in here. I think it's just like a gag.
Oh, I could tell you.
Yes?
Adobe heard what we were saying. We got to distract them right away. We don't like what Hearst is saying. Take over the walkie-talkie. Yeah. So anyway, that's what's you are not alone, Dave. This, none of this is your fault, and you're right to speak out and complain and feel irritated about it. It makes me irritated too.
I'm renting it for hundreds of dollars a year.
Yeah.
You know, just because I want it. You know, once a year, I want to be able to design something for the premium. You know, with Burt Mustin on the cover.
Where I was headed with this is that at some point, corrupt systems fail, and there will be a failure at some point, but I don't know how long it's going to take. But at least what we can do in the meantime, Dave, is keep pointing this out to people, that this is wrong. This should not be happening.
Get yourself edumacated about this stuff,
because
this is the important stuff. We're going to give away the book.
Yes.
How about that?
Let's give away the book.
Okay.
The book, and this is the Coco Crumb book, and
it goes to Stephen in San Gabriel.
Congratulations, Stephen.
Yep.
You're going to get a copy of Optimal Illusions by Coco Crumb, and I hope you really enjoy it. Enjoy the read. It's a great read. Dave, where can people send in a pledge or call in a pledge or type in a pledge?
Oh, we'll get in touch with you. Tut-tut. Stay away from the mailbox. We'll send you something in the mail, and then we'll take it from there. What you can do right now is make the phones ring, and that would really show a great – what a show of support to an amazing show. The Tectonic is – radio that you cannot hear anywhere else. Nothing in its tone, nothing in the information that it imparts, and also it's just pure entertainment, because I really think it is. You are so good. I envy what you do, that you can get on mic for an hour, and yet you go through different phases, and you reach that fever pitch, and you end it like on a dime.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. So all you have to do is call 800-989-9368. Show your support for Mark Hurst. Or go to the web. You know, we like computers. They're fine. Tech is fine. Just don't spy on us. We won't spy on you, huh? The address is wfmu.org. That's it. That's what
There's
we like
call.
To hear.
We like
phone,
to hear the calls.
The phone ringing. Hey, want to thank Claire from Brooklyn. Thank you, Mark, for making an informative and unsettling show.
Thank you,
yes.
Claire.
Unsettling. Yes. Yeah. You know, you walk away from it, you go, oh boy.
Unsettling.
Look
that
at
was great.
This.
Thank you, Claire.
The things you said about that, how cars even, you know, they want to know if you're having sex in the car at a drive-in.
Well, it's not actually listeners who may be laughing at the insanity of that comment. That's actually true. There's a new Nissan terms and conditions policy. I think it was the EFF did a recent privacy audit of the major car companies, and they found this little piece in the Nissan terms and conditions where the company says, and this is basically, if you buy a new model Nissan, they're just telling you, we want to know about your sexual activity. And I brought that up on a show. Again, it's one of these, I can't believe that I have to say this, but the car company is acting like the creepiest the creepiest person you can imagine, but you have to sign away your rights if you're going to drive or ride, I suppose, in a Nissan. But do you know what the worst out of all the car brands, what the worst car brand by far in terms of privacy was, and there was no competition, the absolute worst car brand, you've got it. Dave, you're doing
the timeout hand signal.
It's Tesla. Tesla is the absolute worst for privacy of people inside the car. So if you have a Tesla, congratulations. Go ahead and drive it to the e-waste facility tomorrow. You can drop it off. I'm sure you get a nice write-off, and the battery is probably recyclable somewhere. And put it in drive, hop out at the beginning of the pier, and let it drive itself into the river to follow your iPhone. Anyway, but who do we have some more people to thank?
We have a web pledge over here, Joe from Port Jervis. Thank you very much, Joe. You're
thank
in the
you,
running.
Joe.
Yeah, you're in the running for the next prize. And the next prize is The Nib's Future, authored by The Nib.
Okay, so The Nib is a late, great, recently departed magazine of graphic, well, I couldn't say novels, but it graphic novel content, I guess, articles and essays in comic form, all beautifully drawn with different styles, and it's a full color publication, and there was one of their final issues, if not the final issue of The Nib, I got as a prize for us. It is an issue all about surveillance. All of the multi-page comics in that issue, and I believe it's a perfect bound issue. I mean, it's pretty lengthy. All of them have something to say about surveillance. So this is going to be a really fun prize for whoever wins this.
That sounds great. And to get in the running for that, just pledge $20. Just show your support, get yourself a sticker, get yourself in the running for the NIB. 800-989-9368, WFMU.org.
Can we say something about our brave phone room volunteers who are doing such a good job this evening, Dave?
Look at them go. Hey, man, what's going on? Man? Yep, yep. We got Elvis over here.
Elvis? Oh, Elvis.
Perro Caliente.
Thank you so much.
I know the informal names. And looking all around, we got Kevin Nutt over here.
Kevin Nutt.
Yep.
And from Sinner's Crossroads.
That's right. Who else we got? Yes?
Michael in Maplewood.
Michael from Maplewood.
Thanks for your help, Michael.
Ike.
Hey, Ike.
And so Ike. Ike is here. I didn't see you back there.
Everyone is sitting around waiting for the phone to ring.
Hi, Ike. Yeah. Okay, so we got Michael, Ike, and Perro Caliente. And they're all waiting for your llamado de teléfono. I don't even know if that's correct. Is that correct? Sort of.
Más o menos.
Teléfono.
Not so much us. hey, we got some more people to thank. This is nice that the phone is ringing. Handy Haversack.
Handy Haversack pledging. He was just volunteering here a week ago. Thank you, Handy.
He says, as a strict Hurstanian, I'd surf to pledge tech, but I'll pledge to resist surf tech. Okay, sounds good. It's a long one. I can't get to all of it, but thanks a lot, Handy.
Thanks, Handy.
Dave from Staten Island, thank you
thanks,
very much
Dave.
For your pledge. Eva from Los Angeles, very generous pledge from Eva.
Getting
a T-shirt level pledge here.
That's
by the
great.
Way, $20 gets you the sticker, $50. Oh, no, it's more than the T-shirt. $50 gets you a T-shirt. $75, you get a DJ premium. Now, you have a premium,
okay,
don't
I,
you?
I do have a premium, Dave, and if listeners want to see the cover, it's a CD. Just like I did a CD last year, I'm doing a CD again this year. So there's not a T-shirt, there's a CD, and it's got an unusual cover image, which you can see if you go to the playlist at WFMU.org and click Playlists and Comments. What you're going to see is a recreation of the Hall & Oates album H2O. And instead of seeing Daryl Hall and John Oates look eye to eye, nose to nose at each other with sweat or whatever it is dripping off of them with a red background, you're going to see me nose to nose with DJ Scott Williams. And we're calling it Hurst and Otsk. I'm trying to do something to get an H and O in there. It's Hurst and Otsk. And the photograph was taken by the great Greg from Zone 5, who has done the design work for Tectonic for many years. He also did the album cover last year when we did Cymark and Scott Funkel.
Mm-hmm.
But this year is going to be Hall & Oates. We're doing three tracks of Hall & Oates with the lyrics slightly changed for Tectonic. The name of the album is, the name of the title track is Spam Eater. Of course. I mean, it was right there, Dave. How could we not?
Are you going to do It's Gone?
I'm keeping it a little bit under wraps with the other two tracks
okay,
are.
Okay.
And then the rest of the, it's not just a three track CD. The rest of the tracks will be the surveillance tunes that I've used as outros over the last year. So
cool.
Someone can put it in, listen to, Scott and I sing, and I attempt to sing, I suppose. And,
I've seen you sing. You sing. You definitely
yeah.
sing.
And then,
tra-la-la.
And right, the Trololo song. And then to go on and listen to actual professional musicians do the rest of the surveillance-oriented song. So that can be yours, and that's not a drawing. That can definitely be yours for a pledge of $75 or more. And when you go into the pledge page, just make sure you click the little box that says One DJ Premium, and on the next page, select the Tectonic Premium under the Monday heading. It's very easy, and then you'll get the album, and you'll have the album cover art and everything, which you can see again on the playlist at WFMU.org.
Speaking of easy, this is a very easy to navigate website, and especially when it comes to the archives. You know, when you talk about listen to this archive with this author years ago, or this one from April of 2023. our archives go back about 24 years, 24/7. No other radio station does this. And it's because we really value the radio shows that have been produced here over the years, and hoping that you will too, so it doesn't just go off into the ether. It's a whole new world of radio where you can re-listen to something, or especially if I hear one of your shows and I need to tell someone about it, you know, I'll send them the link to your show. And you got to listen to this show. And this is expensive also. This really costs a lot of money. The servers, the redundant servers, you know, so in case something goes wrong in the cloud, this cloud, we need another cloud. And it's so well organized. The Kenzo system is what we call it internally.
Yeah, Kenzo has done a great job with the archiving system and also the comment board, which is another feat of engineering that you're not going to find anywhere else. The comment board is allowing a civil conversation among listeners during each show, and that's archived as well. But where else, Dave, can you go online and actually have a chat with like-minded people that doesn't devolve into name-calling or whatever the other toxicities are, spam and whatever, just vituperative content? Here, people are talking about the songs they're hearing or what the DJ is talking about, and it's a community feel. And that is in part due to, as you say, the ease of use of the website. So good deal to Kenzo for doing a good job. By the way, speaking of the archives, I'm looking at the Music to Spaz By archives, and the very first show that is on your archives, Dave, is from July 25, 1996. Amazing. Amazing. Almost 28 years ago. You're coming up on three decades of archives.
Of archives. Yeah.
I mean, you go beyond that. So that's...
Although I think that we actually started having audio around 2000 because there was a glitch where we were kids then. It was like 24 years ago.
Oh, I see. This is where it says, you're right.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal with station manager Ken Friedman. Okay, I would have to say it was around 1993. And, you know, we would have to go out to East Orange for about every 6 weeks or so for a staff meeting. And it was a big ordeal coming from Brooklyn and go to Port Authority and get on the camp bus and go out there, you know. And Ken said, okay, everybody, I'd like you to start keeping playlists, because one day people are going to listen to your show on the on a computer. And we were all like, this guy's crazy.
No way.
Like, no way. What are you talking about? You know?
Computers are for nerds, Ken.
and who knew? It's like computers with those little speakers and all that. You know? But wow. Very prescient, you know.
Very prescient. This station, I mean, speaking of technology, WFMU always seems to be in the forefront of technological innovation. And I'm not saying this ironically.
What a paradox.
Well, not really, because I think, Dave, an organization that really wants to do the right thing and do interesting things can be innovative. And they can create apps and streams and things the way WFMU has done. If you are oriented for the best interests of your listening community, as FMU is, you're going to naturally reach out and try to do interesting things with technology. The problem is when there's a concentration of money and power that becomes corrupt, that then perverts the innovation process to then innovate apps and platforms in order to exploit people. That's the exact opposite of what WFMU has been doing for decades. And so the dominant themes, the dominant platforms or directions of tech right now, I mean, do you hear WFMU covered in national tech media as the pioneer of all of this? No, they always talk about Spotify or Amazon Music or something, these horrible exploitative services, whereas the true innovator was WFMU, was the first station to be doing these things, and it did it out of a sense of service to its listeners. So to your point earlier, Dave, this show, my approach is as definitely not anti-technology. I'm excited about technology. You guessed right. I've been interested in digital technology since I was about 4 years old. I could tell you a story of how it all started. But what has really irritated me, more has enraged me for the last number of years, is to see the corruption and the perversion of digital technology to be the exact opposite of what it should be. And that is part of what fuels me every Monday, is just the rage to see these bozos out there doing their best to ruin digital technology when it could be doing so many awesome things instead.
Yes, it just got stopped in its tracks at a certain point. If I could go back in time, besides, shaking Red Skelton's hand or something, I would want to have a standalone computer. Now, I don't even like Red Skelton. Red Button's better. I would want a standalone computer where I had my Quark and my Photoshop and my iTunes all on there, and it's working really well. You know, and it's not on the internet, and I would just do whatever I had to do on there and then throw it on the thumb drive and upload it or whatever, you know, just not have anything to do with the new versions of everything, because really it all got worse.
Wait, I'm just, hold on. You lost me there at the beginning. You said something about you want software that actually works.
Yeah.
Let's just stop right there.
Yeah. Just have it work.
Big tech right now says you are so naive. Do you not understand our business? You want software that works.
You got it, boss. Something that works.
Actually useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, useful.
I couldn't hear a word you said after that, because as soon as you said you wanted something useful, I don't hear a lot of supercharged growth in that plan right there.
Oh, it's not. Dave. We're not even going to run it up the flagpole.
Yeah, we're not even going to run it up the flagpole. Well, you got to start with a different assumption. We want crappy software that constantly glitches out, always needs an upgrade, and is getting them to buy more and more and get bigger hardware that will maybe possibly solve the problem from a year ago, which will introduce new problems, but then you're going to have to buy even more.
Yes.
I like that. And that means the software will never work correctly. And now we're getting to the heart of the Silicon Valley business model. The software isn't supposed to work, Dave. You're supposed to keep paying. And then after that, let me catch up here. Oh, that's right. You're supposed to keep paying some more.
More.
And then we're on a treadmill that we really like here at Big Tech.
And they want you to purchase new hardware as well.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not just software.
The software glitches get more hardware. The hardware glitches get more software. And it goes lockstep as long and as you upgrade. I'm using that word with air quotes. As you upgrade both the software and the hardware, the surveillance and the manipulation and the control just tightens and tightens all around you.
That's where all of the innovation money is going.
Yep.
To surveillance.
Sure is. Exactly. To control you and to make you a compliant, docile rent payer.
Working for them. Giving them free information, and they're not getting their money's worth unless they're data mining. Or, you know, can you fill out, you talk to me for 30 seconds, we're going to send you a survey.
And we recorded your voice for quality assurance purposes, definitely not to create a voice print that we can now identify you on any phone call that we surveil you on in the future. Never. Which is exactly what they're doing, of course.
And the way that you're asked, would you like to do this now? And your two options of saying, there's no.
Yes.
You know, it's either yes or maybe later.
Maybe later,
yes. It's like, how about no, maybe later?
Yes.
How about you're asking me a question? How about no, don't want to do this ever?
To quote the New Yorker cartoon, how about never? Is never good for you?
Never works.
But that's not an option. Okay, we have more people to thank.
Yes, we do. Chris from Brooklyn says, this is Slip Phone Chris. I'm upping my pledge from last week.
Yes, that's right, Chris.
Got himself a burner. All right, baby.
All right.
Scott from Crystal Falls. Holy smoke. This is a very, very generous pledge from Scott. Wow.
Woo!
Keep up the good work. I am
excited
for the premium. Man. Oh,
all
man.
Right.
Oh, shit.
I hope you like, Scott,
wow.
I hope you like Hearst and Otsk.
Wow. That is the Secret Society.
Secret Society!
Yeah, you're getting an FMU Hungry Cat hoodie. 10 DJ premiums.
Oh, my goodness.
That is really, that's $41 a month,
holy,
you know?
Holy
and that
moly.
Is very generous
Thank
of you.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you
Scott.
Very
yeah.
much. David from
David!
Oakland. David!
Thank you, David.
Yes. Let's see, did I mention Kevin from Hardner, New York. Okay.
Thank you,
so
Kevin.
So Mark can continue ranting on the radio.
All right.
Boy,
I love
what
it.
Would
Thank
Monday,
you.
What would Monday evenings be without that? Man, oh, man.
I need my Monday evening rant.
Zachary from Connolly, Indiana. Thank you, Dave, about the About Ken. Thanks, Dave and Mark. Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Thanks, Zachary. That's great.
Frederick of Newport Richey and says,
yes.
Stress Dave Express is compelling. I guess I sound stressed. I don't know.
You've got to come back, Dave. You know how you said at the beginning we have 3.5 hours?
Yeah.
That's like three and a half tectonics we're going to have to do. You're going to just have to show up. Okay, go.
Holy smoke. Zoe from Los Angeles, thanks for all you do. So important, so grim.
Thank
you. Yes, and I'll add, so hilariously grim.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
I love that L.A. is part of this tectonic community as well. I welcome that.
John from Yonkers, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Yeah, thank you.
Key from Pittstown, New Jersey, swag for life, a big fan of Tectonic and Spaz. Wow, nice. What kind of Venmo circle is that? Yeah. That's like a real lumpy one. That works. What do we got here? We got Phil from Rahway, New Jersey, pledging during my D&D session.
All right.
Thanks for starting my WFMU career all those years ago. Love you both. Oh, it's Landfill. We don't know.
Oh, Landfill. What am I talking about? Landfill. He can't win. He's on the schedule now. Landfill, thanks so much. It's for longtime listeners. That's call screener Phil.
Yep.
And
he has a show in the middle of the night.
And Phil, I recommend the Force Bolt spell, but that's just me.
Okay.
Well, go ahead.
Jan from New York. Hey, Mark, here's an idea. How about issuing a crypto coin for your show? Think of the possibilities.
Oh, my gosh. Jan, that's a great idea.
A crapto coin.
Tectonic coin.
Yeah,
it's going to go to the moon, baby. And there's no fraud at all, I promise.
Aaron from Toronto, Mark Hurst for president 2024. I guess president of Toronto.
I love Toronto. I'd be happy to go back. I don't think I have much of a chance in the American election this year, but I appreciate your vote, Aaron, even though you can't vote in the US election, I don't think. Because she's in Toronto.
Right.
But
right.
I like the idea.
It's a great idea.
It. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. Tectonic, this is really, what a riveting show. It's so much information. I learned so much listening to it, and you do it so entertainingly that it goes down smooth. There's nothing, you know, it would be very easy to slip into a sort of a highbrow, pedantic, you know, kind of way of talking down to people. And there's none of that. You know, you go out, you get your coffee like everybody else and get on the train, you know, and you come here and you're just trying to live your life in New York City like all of us without being surveilled walking down the street.
That's it. I'm on the PATH train. I'm on the 1-2-3 train coming down from the Upper West Side. And everybody, as I come down, I always have a book out. And I look around the car as I'm coming down every Monday evening, and it's always almost every single person has their face buried in a phone. And I always think, is there something that important that you have to look at the instantaneous update on your phone? Did something major just happen? I mean, maybe it did for somebody. But for all of you, what is so important? Pull out a book once in a while, but then I don't say anything. I wait until I get to the station to say this kind of stuff.
It's like a scene out of Metropolis when they're all going to work and they're just kind of shifting. And they might as well be looking down at their phones.
Yeah, or the 1984 Apple commercial where Apple was pretending to be a company that definitely wouldn't turn out to be an overbearing hegemon.
And was it on? Were you the one that reported that they hired Nazis for the skinheads? Because they needed people that wouldn't mind shaving their heads and sitting around for very low pay for a week.
That I didn't report on that, but there was an oral history around the time of the Super Bowl. There, someone published an oral history of the 1984 Super Bowl commercial. And yes, it turned out that the guys with shaved heads that were sitting in the amphitheater where the woman comes in with the
right.
with the thing.
The sledgehammer.
Thank you. Sledgehammer that she throws at the screen. Apparently, they were skinheads, and they were a little bit unruly. Can you imagine during the filming? So, and now Apple has turned out to be even more hegemonic than IBM ever was in 1984. So there you have it.
What a brilliant strategy they had. Talk about greenwashing. Because 20 years ago, they had the billboards with Gandhi and John and Yoko. And also, you know, kind of, you know, this pure kind of, hey, we're not evil, you know.
Oh,
and
no,
it turns out, you give them an inch. You give them an inch, and they're...
Yes, exactly.
You want to go have a, you know, you want to have a Big Mac to kind of, you know, cleanse yourself.
My favorite is the giant 10,000-foot-high billboards that say privacy, that's iPhone. And it shows this camera, this iPhone that has giant cameras staring out of the billboard at you. I go, does nobody see the irony here? The word privacy is being overshadowed by these giant cyclopean eyes that are videoing everything that you do. Privacy, that's not iPhone, is what they should have said, but they didn't want to listen to my edit.
Irony is either dead or it's reached a new level that we can't even comprehend what it is anymore.
It's so beyond. But anyway, we try to yell about it once in a while, right, Dave? And maybe
you sure do, and you do it eloquently.
Thank you.
Every week.
We've got 3 minutes. We got to do this drawing, and I got to give some homework to the listeners. So let's do this drawing. Anybody else to thank before the drawing?
I believe that's a. Let's see. Oh, Dave, did I mention Dave from Staten Island?
Dave, thanks so much.
And that might be about it. So we probably should draw for the NIB.
Let's NIB surveillance issue. This is going to be a happy listener is going to win this one.
Let's see. Scott from Crystal Falls. You win the NIB.
All right. Great job, Scott. You're going to enjoy this. The NIB is, that issue in particular, is a lot of fun. I want to say thanks so much to Dave the Spaz for being my co-host. And again, everyone should listen to his fabulous show, Music to Spaz By, on Thursdays from 9 p.m. Eastern to 12 midnight. Dave, it really has been my privilege and honor that you would join me here on the second marathon show. So thank you.
Thank you for putting up with me being tongue-tied about being in the presence of Mark Hurst, because I just got a million thoughts on here.
Well, thanks. And thanks to the volunteers, Michael, Ike, and Pedro, Perro Caliente. Oh, muchas gracias.
So
and I want to remind everyone that you have been listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. And until next time, friends, you know exactly what to do. Avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, get off Google and stay tuned for more Mandel than you can handle.
Welcome back, everybody, to my second show of the 2024 WFMU On Air Fundraising Marathon. Dave Mandel's here. Dave Mandel is me here till 8 this evening with It's Complicated and my very special MC, Ken Friedman, station manager Ken. Hey, Ken.
Hello, Dave.
How's it going?
Great. Happy to be here representing for the Prague.
Yeah. Thank you. Ken, a actually not-so-closet Prague fan, a long time Prague fan. And
yeah,
Prague
I think
aficionado.
You and I, way back when in the early 80s when we first met, or mid 80s, I guess, we kind of bonded over Prague.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that in the course of tonight's show. We're here to raise money, of course, to keep the station on the air, pumping out the tunes for you for another year. You can pledge by calling 1-800-989-9368. Pledge online at our website, wfmu.org. And let's jump right into what we are giving away on tonight's show. I've got some really great prizes. I think you'll agree, Ken.
Yes, absolutely.
And why don't we start by announcing one of those, which is Slap Happy Henry Cow, an LP, a CD, actually. It's not an LP. It's a CD by Slap Happy / Henry Cow called Desperate Straits. This is one of my absolute favorite records. I'm going to play something from it now. And this will be the first prize that we draw for in, you know, next 15, 20 minutes or so.
And so, nobody in the running at the moment.
Oh, my goodness.
So we'd love people to pledge, get in the running for the Slap Happy Henry Cow album on CD. And also let us know your favorite prog band.
Yes, when you call or pledge online.
Do you have a favorite, Dave?
Well,
I know it's impossible.
It's impossible.
Yeah,
it's impossible. Yeah. I mean, it gun to my head, as they say, it might have to be Jethro Tull, who was my favorite band as a teenager.
Yeah.
But it's tough. It's hard.
Yeah.
This is not an easy thing to...
Likewise, I would have to say Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Even though I'd rather say something else.
What's the Pink Floyd album that stands out? What's the most proggy, your favorite proggy Pink Floyd album?
Well, maybe just Interstellar Overdrive, mm-hmm. the song.
Yep. Good one.
Yeah, that had a huge influence on me.
Yeah. So
and I realized that I could really get behind the noise all the way.
Right. Umagumma is another one. That was a big one for me.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very Pink Floyd out there, trippiest.
Yep.
So if you call or pledge, if you pledge by phone or online, mention what your favorite prog band is and we will announce it on the air and talk about it. In the meantime, I'm going to play a track again from the Slap Happy Henry Cow CD, which we're giving away soonish, and keep pledging, and we'll be back in a bit.
Hands we pan the dregs, the bowl contains
Slap Happy Henry Cow here at Listener Supported WFMU. Dave Mandel here raising money for us to keep the station on the air for another year. Ken Friedman out there in the phone room. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Dave. Cresty wants to know, is Captain Beefheart Prague?
Some,
yeah,
I would say, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to say some.
He crossed the line on occasion. Yeah.
As did many people.
Yeah. Okay, how about this? What is your favorite? Because this is a thing. What is your favorite nationality of Prague? I mean, you've always been biased towards German, you know, krautrock stuff. I know, but where do you think?
I guess I would have to say German, even though it's not the thing that comes to mind immediately. When you first said it, I was thinking either British or French.
Yeah.
But probably by the amount of time I've spent listening, you know, spending with my ears, it's got to be German.
Yeah. Italy, well, I've mentioned this ad nauseum on the show, that Italian Prague is some of the proggiest. I mean, it's the absolute,
oh, yeah,
like,
it's pinnacle, too proggy for me.
But right, but it does.
They went full Prague, those Italians.
It does cross the line sometimes.
And I can't go there.
Right. It's sometimes, you know, only the brave. It's sort of the true test,
yes,
you know, of your limits.
It is.
As a Prague fan, yeah. I'm going to play some in a minute.
All right. But, hey, well, we have some people to thank here.
Let's do that.
And we are trying to give away the Slap Happy Henry Cow CD of a classic, Desperate Straits. $20 or more puts you in the running for that. But thank you, Eric in Lincoln, Nebraska.